Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day. Hey, you guys. Today I would like to talk about responsibilities. I talk about my brothers a lot, and a brother in particular is currently serving time. He's incarcerated. And one thing that no one could ever take away from my brother, what he strives and works hard for, like, the man is a complete genius. And I'm not joking. Like, you can put something in front of him, takes about 10, 15 minutes. He has literally constructed how to fix it, how to operate it, how to put it together. The man had the highest GPA score, well, ACT score, in the state of Louisiana. Funny thing is, he's been in and out of jail his entire life. This man has literally taught me. He was the first person to introduce me to poetry. The first person to actually introduce me to reading. He used to have, like, Maya Angelou, all these Edgar Allan Poe. So sorry. Edgar Allan Poe. He used to have books and books of poetry books. And then he would, when I was younger, he would take me riding around the neighborhood and tell me stories that he just randomly came up with, you know, just to keep me out of all the crazy things that were happening in our lives when I was younger. He was very informative, but pushed me to still have creativity. Because, you know, for children who are traumatized or have been through traumatic experiences, tend to lose their imagination because they are automatically forced into adulthood by, you know, traumatic instances like parents on drugs or abandonment or, you know, abuse, any form of abuse for children in that aspect. Once traumatized, they tend to lose their imagination or they're consumed by it. It's kind of hard. I always tell my friend, he's also a really good writer too, is that the most creative people are the most damaged, because to escape our reality, we have to imagine a better reality. We have to imagine a different world other than the pain and sorrow we currently deal with. And especially for children, some tend to lose that imagination. If there's not a person, positive person, therapy or anything of that nature to kind of convert them into be, you know, making them realize that, hey, you're still a child, they automatically jump into adulthood because you have to make a decision here, now, at this point. But he always kept me creative. And my brother, regardless what he went through, he prided his children. And I'm not trying to talk bad about him, but he got a lot of kids. But each one of his children, he loves to death. Like, when that birthday comes, he knows. He doesn't forget their birthdays. Sometimes he can't talk to them, or, you know, there's a complication with the mother to where he can't speak to them. My brother will literally, and this is how I know that he will celebrate their birthday privately. You know what I mean? Like, he'll go out when he's sad, like depressed that he can't see his child, and fake it. And no one else notices it but me until we're sitting there having a conversation. And he turns to me and he says, you know, Mom, it's my baby birthday. And to have to spend any quality time with his children, man, like, you don't understand the joy that comes out of his whole being. Like, he turns into this person that is just so full of joy. But anytime somebody is placed in some point where they can't be near their child, or, you know, there's a separation going on with the parent, I feel as though as adults, we tend to consume ourselves in what we feel about the other parent and forget the focus on the child. And I'm saying this in reference to, you know, how can I explain this? Certain family members don't care for one of the mother of his children. And the reason being is because her thought process is, it's not because she's hood, it's just that she's a negative person. And some of the things she doesn't realize she's saying can be very disrespectful. But how she was raised is completely different from how people in my family have been raised. And even when we have tried, or that family member and has tried to give her things, purchase her clothes and help her out, she gets so defensive to where she blacks out, or she doesn't say anything. She goes mute. Like, she doesn't like to go out, and, you know, she's so reserved to herself and would rather get messed up, drunk, or whatever. She isolates herself. And I know that comes from a lot of depression, which I understand the depression, but I don't think my other family members understand it. Their only heart, I'll just be real with you, they're only hard on her because they expect excellence from her, but they want to push her to where she'll be the best she can be because they care. But after several instances, you trying with a person, you're like, well, why am I even trying? You know, like, what's the point? And then there's debacle and there's fights. And the messed up thing with family and fights is that when it comes to children involved, I feel like the adults take it to another level, to where it's no longer, it's like, screw it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to do it. And it's a lack of communication because these two people don't care for each other. Let's just say you have a friend who was in a relationship. They had children together, a kid together. No, let's say children, plural. They have children together and they separate. Didn't work out. Decide to co-parent. Well, what you fail to realize is, other than the two parents co-parenting, the family is co-parenting. The family has to step up and help as well, because, you know what I mean? You have to give balance. Nobody expects to be a single parent. They don't. But all single parents know that it takes a village to raise a child. So even if you're doing it on your own, the help of family tremendously helps. It's super, so needed in the community to relieve pressure on the single parent, but also help blend, help make the children feel loved and cared for. Other than, my parents are separated, that family don't care about me, that's it. And I constantly preach to my family, and I try not to, you know, if I can do a lot more, I would. You know, I really would if I could. But if I can't, I still try. Like, I'll go visit, or, you know, I'll try to do something to show these children that they're still loved and cared for. Because even though their father is not there, I want you to know that his support is still here. And that's kind of hard when you're having conflicts with family members. It's kind of hard because y'all get into an argument as adults. You'd be like, I ain't buying them kids nothing. Forget it. And the children are affected. But then I also have to realize, too, is that it's frustrating when you're trying to communicate with someone in reference to just helping when you, and honestly and truthfully, I don't care what you say, you don't have to help. Because two people decide to bring this child into this world, it's up to those two people to financially show stability. I don't care what you say. As family, I don't know if it's just a Southern thing, we decide to support as well because we're coming together as a community, as a village, as a family, as one to give support. Not every family is like that, but in the South, basically, it is what it is. But the most frustrating part is that if one side of the family keeps, you know, contributing, keeps financial stability, keeps buying clothes, buying shoes, and you're throwing them in the trash, keeps trying to communicate with you so what you need, but they get an attitude back, or they have to go through this person to communicate with you to help you. That's frustrating. So frustrating to where that family member or even that group of family can be tired of constantly trying to reach out, trying to extend a leaf branch off of the strength of the children. Because it's no longer, we're not taking it personal, but the parent is making it a personal act. So the family members are like, I don't even want to help anymore. But the most damaging part of that all is the children or child being affected each time. And the only reason why I say that is because, I mean, in my dynamic of how I was raised with my grandparents and my mom and my brothers. My father did not have any siblings and he wasn't around. I do not know that side of the family at all. I don't. I just know my grandmother, which is his mother. Any connection to that side of it, I have no idea. I was very skeptical of dating people in my hometown because I was like, I really don't know if we're kin or not because I don't know my dad's side of the family. As scary as it may sound, I really don't know. Because there was no olive branch into, if my dad can't step in, this family will. So my mom's family decided to step in and help. But I realized that took a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice and a lot of my mom biting and gritting her teeth to accept help. Even if her siblings frustrated her, pissed her off, or they were going through their own battles, my mom would grit her teeth off the strength of her children and decided to agree to disagree because she was a single parent to sacrifice. And I think as parents, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, you know, especially with new generations or any generations, I could say, you know, when you're trying to raise a child and you bring a child in the world, everybody has their own opinions. Everybody has some advice to give you. Whether you tell your child, no, you go to grandma's house and grandma was like, oh, baby, go ahead and do it. You know, and you like, I just told this little rugrat no. And that's frustrating. And so there it goes. It's not about the child anymore. It's about, well, I said this and you should, you know, like it's becoming an adult conversation, an adult issue, an adult responsibility, an adult lack of communication. And I feel as though the whole point of how we utterly feel about each other is the lack of communication because we're so angry at the adult that the child suffers each time. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because me as a person who was single parent, I do feel left out of my father's family. I do feel like I can't really call them other than me having his last name. It's the only benefit I have of my father. And it makes me feel unwanted. It makes me feel like, I mean, come on, I should have had my mom's last name because there is no point of me just carrying this last name. But you don't know these feelings from the child's perspective because it's a child. At the moment, at the heat of the moment, the main topic of conversation is, I don't like her because how she act. I'm trying to help her, but she want to give me attitude. Fine, I ain't going to do it. And you know how many times I've heard this, not in my family, not in my instance, but even from friends I've had, you know, and I can't, you know, I voice my opinion. I'm going to be real with you. I voice my opinion, but then I shut my mouth because for one, I don't have any kids. So, you know, like the first thing that somebody is like, you don't have a kid, so you can't tell me nothing, you know, but I feel as though when I have my child or my children and, you know, God forbid or something happens, me and the father don't work out, I don't want to cripple my child. I don't want to damage my child and have them lose that connection with their father or their father's family. A sacrifice I will make into sustaining their creativity, sustaining that they never lose the love that we once had to create this child. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some things that we forget. It's not about us anymore when we have children. It's about them. And I'm saying this to where I'm not going to put my child in a toxic situation either. You got me messed up. I'm not going to put myself or my child in a toxic situation. So if you're not here to capitalize on the growth and development and love of my child, then of course you don't need to be here. And I'm not saying financially, I'm saying just in the presence of them. If the only thing you could come out and spew is the defect of how me and my child's father did not work out, or even say negative things about me, or even, you know, abuse my child mentally and physically in a way that damages them, no, I will not place my child in your care. I'm sorry. But what I will not do is, and so many times I've seen this and it's pissed me off. And I say it, it's pissed me off when it could be a man, because I met, you know, single fathers, or a woman, single mother, who are so angry at their creator of this child, the person that they decide to have this child with, or even didn't decide, it happened, things didn't work out. Now you're choosing, listen to my words, choosing to be a single parent. Because there are sometimes you don't have, and people need to get this out of their head, just because you have a child with somebody don't mean you have to be with that person. It does not mean. If you're only in the relationship because of the fact that you have a child, there's nothing else there. There's no love. There's no connection. There's no relationship. There's no friendship. It is nothing there but the protection and care for that child. Then you need to get out, because you're teaching your child to sustain any relationship due to a toxic love for them. You're teaching your child that this is okay, that this is what love is, and it's not. It's not just settling for someone. It's never settling for someone. You're basically telling them that love does not exist, and that's not true. It's not true. But sometimes I understand, even if the person was damaging for the relationship, but is a great parent figure, great mother, great father, you should not deprive that child of that connection. Because yet again, it's no longer about you, what people, I keep saying through this whole post, it is about the child. So push aside all the pettiness behavior that you have. Like, you know, the mother of the child, push all that aside, that you don't like his mama or you don't like the auntie because they got always something to say about you. Push that aside and call them up and say, hey, you know, your grandkids would like to see you. You know, it's cool if you want to come pick them up or not, you know. And I'm not saying you're begging people. You don't have to beg somebody to come see your child, because when somebody want to come see your children, they'll do that. Don't beg. But I mean, sometimes people don't even want to ask you because you're so indirect or so cut off or so assuming that I'm going to be a horrible person that they don't even want to ask you. Like you literally disrespect them so bad, they don't even want to ask you to help you. I think that everybody should put aside their differences and swallow their pride and communicate. That is the hugest thing ever, that you're showing your children that without spewing negativity, you guys can sit down, discuss it, and resolve it. That's showing a better who, when I tell you, especially in a household with children. I think that is highly important to show them that proper communication is key. Responsibility is key. So to sit down with the people you're having differences with, agree to disagree, or come to terms with the fact that it's no longer about the adults, it's about the children, you always come off top. Every time. So get off your high horse and into a place of love for the children. Not just, and you will fully see the huge achievement of that dynamic of you being more embracive. Try.
In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl Shelby Henny signing off. Have a good one, y'all.